Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Brilliance Security Podcast. Hello, my name is Steve Bocut, and I am an editor for Brilliance Security Magazine. Brilliance is an online digital publication dedicated to the security industry. Our mission, and thus our name, is to illuminate the intersection of physical and cybersecurity. We cover both of these security domains by publishing original content about threats, hacks, products, and security strategies. We hope you will enjoy this podcast and visit us at brilliancesecuritymagazine.com. Welcome to the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast, and thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your listening. Our guests today are Bob Bregant and Lee Brotherson. Bob is the COO and co-founder at OpsHelm, where Lee is the founding engineer. OpsHelm proactively and intelligently helps organizations find and remediate the most common cloud configurations. So these are the two perfect guys for our topic today. Because our topic today is automated cloud infrastructure remediation. Before I bring them in, let me tell you a little bit about them. Bob Bregant spent the last decade plus growing from managing ticket queues to managing systems, organizational security initiatives, security teams, and clients. He has worked with startups, governments, nonprofits, and the Fortune 50. Seeing the unique quirks and more often finding the common threads that seem to exist across organizations of all stripes. Lee Brotherson is a seasoned security leader with decades of experience at all levels of security and is the co-author of the hugely successful O'Reilly Defensive Security Handbook. With a knack for security research, Lee is regularly invited to speak at security conferences like B-Sides, Black Hat, and DEF CON. So with that, welcome Bob and Lee. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Hi. It is lovely to be here.
All right. This is going to be fun and interesting. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. So let's kind of give the audience a better idea in case people are not familiar with OpsHelm. Let's give them a better idea of who you are, kind of share your origin story and maybe how you identified the need for the solutions that you offer.
Sure, happy to do so. So really, OpsHelm came out of our recognition that the cloud is becoming more and more complex, right? And you know, the cloud is great. It's been a great accelerator of innovation. Companies have really used it to improve the speed with which they can deliver products, the efficiency with which they can deliver products. But every year, you know, those cloud providers, as more and more people move into the cloud providers release more new services. They release more new features for their existing services. And that all adds additional complexity that then each of those companies has to manage. And really, even the most minute of mistakes in those cloud environments can leave your organization open to attack vectors, right, can leave your organization open to threats and breaches that may adversely affect the organization.
Yes. Okay. So you guys identified that this complexity and thought that you could come up with some solution that that helps solve that problem, as I understand it. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we identified that complexity, and you know, and so I spent the last several years working as a consultant, seeing hundreds of organizations. Lee has also been a consultant in the same position, and we've seen the common thread among those organizations is every organization, from small startups, from two-person startups up to Fortune 50 companies, they all have areas where the security team hasn't been able to look, right? Where the security team just doesn't have the time, the bandwidth to really provide the detailed security review that we would all love to provide as security professionals, right? We would all love to be hands-on and knowledgeable and aware of everything that's happening within our organization, but limits of resources, manpower simply don't allow us to do so. I mean, we could. We would grind everything to a halt, and that would be terrible for the organization. So we don't. And so, right, we've seen you know, everybody, even huge tech companies, right, have had issues where, oh, well, we didn't realize this server was out there on the internet. You know, we tried, you know, we were making a change to test something. We spun up some infrastructure that was not intended to remain online for very long, and then we forgot about it. And so we've built Ops Helm really to try to programmatically address those issues, right? To ensure full coverage of an organization's cloud and to ensure automatic remediation of the major issues, right? The really severe issues, the Saturday morning, all hands on deck sort of incidents, so that your organization can focus its time on the more interesting work, right? The more organization specific efforts that you might undertake instead of having to spend a whole bunch of time trying to address this very common, very cookie cutter kind of work.
Excellent. And given the experience that you guys have, I think it would be interesting to try and maybe identify the top three challenges that you guys have discovered in this space, and maybe this rogue infrastructure that you've mentioned, maybe that's one of them, maybe not. But what are, if you had to distill what you've learned over the years into the top three challenges, what would those be?
I think one of the high ranking risks for me is overall complexity. So, you know, a particular tech leader famously once said, like, move fast and break things. And you know, that leaves a certain wake in its path afterwards. And, you know, a security team, typically, unless you're in like one of the very large sort of FANG type companies, the size of the security team is often not large enough to keep up with everything that engineering's doing. And so complexity is large in engineering anyway. And for the security team, it becomes extra complex just because of the time and availability to do things. And so that means that we are often, you know, just unable through constraints to keep track of everything that's happening. And it's very easy to see how a development team, like Bob said, quickly standing something up in quotes temporarily, or, you know, making a change that they're going to come back to, and all these other things, you know, that they happen. And I can give you firsthand experience of this. I've worked at multiple orgs that run bug bounty programs. And we've had to pay out on all sorts of sort of silly things where it's not customer data. It's like there's some dev environment and someone left an S3 bucket open, or someone left, or, you know, whatever, something not properly configured. And this is like, it's simple stuff that you can pick up on, but there's just such a volume of things to go through. It doesn't get caught quickly enough. And so this is a way of not only, you know, reducing risk from complexity because it's an automated thing. It's not a human doing like manual review and stuff. But it also reduces, you know, time to discovery, which is probably an entire risk discussion on its own.
Exactly.
Verizon DBIR always points out the mean time to discovery being way longer than you would hope it would be on breaches. So, yeah, I think that's been a big one.
Sure.
Yeah. And building on something Lee said there, right, you were talking about development environments. I think one of the things that really, one of the top challenges that I see is just the sprawl of infrastructure, right, and the sprawl of the scope of things that security professionals need to be looking at. You know, if you're a product company, for example, I'm sure you have your production cloud environment, your production application very well secured. You have really thought about the risks. You've thought about the controls that you need to put in place to keep that application and its data secure. But virtually no company has just that one environment. You'll have development environments. You'll have staging environments. You might have recently, you know, let's say you've recently acquired a company that, you know, you're going to roll into that production application eventually. Well, but they probably have various environments that you haven't really had a chance to dig into yet.
Your sales engineers might have environments, data science might have environments, all of these little things, and they can crop up, and they don't, many of those, you know, production often has very tight controls around what gets pushed there, how, right, there's generally only one or a very small number of those environments, but these other environments, they can pop up and disappear, and things can get pushed to them with very little notice and without security's involvement often. And so that really is a challenge, right? You know, just maintaining that visibility into what's going on in the rest of the organization is often difficult for a security team.
Absolutely. Thank you. I'd like to get you, if you can, to, and I know this is impossible to do exactly, but to try and quantify the magnitude of the problem. So in my line of work, being a journalist that covers cybersecurity, I hear about cloud misconfiguration issues all the time. And so it would be interesting. You have expertise that I don't have. So from your perspective, it would be interesting to get you to try and quantify the magnitude of these problems.
Yeah. So I think that... Obviously, we think it's a huge problem. We know from research that people have done over the last few years, something like 80% of companies have acknowledged experiencing a cloud breach. And in those breaches, something like 15% of the initial attack vectors came from cloud security misconfigurations. So that's really quite substantial. The annual financial loss for those cloud breaches is on per organization is something like $6 million. It's substantial.
And I've heard different numbers, but I know that they're always amazing how large the number is, right? No matter who's, how you add it up, it's a big, big number.
Yeah. And I mean, and of course, you know, with situations like this, where we're all attempting to quantify these values, there's a lot of estimation that's being done, and minor differences in how one organization does that estimation can add up. So yeah,
interesting. And I don't know that I've ever seen any statistics to back this up, but it may be accurate to say that cloud misconfiguration is the single largest problem that organizations face right now. There just seems to be so much of it. And if it's not the single largest, I'm sure that it ranks up there very high. Yeah. So I think it would be interesting for our audience to learn maybe as many details as you're comfortable giving about how OpsHelm's, how your solution works to solve this problem that we've now identified and tried to quantify. You know, what does your solution do to solve that problem?
Lee is the engineer. Would you like to take that away?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can. So effectively what we've done is we've built what we believe to be a nice and smooth and like low friction onboarding route whereby people can introduce us to our us to their platform without having to install anything. We generate service accounts within our own platform, and they can add them to their environment. This means that they have the control to, you know, cut us off, grant us access, you know, limit access, like all that kind of stuff. They don't have to be running any of our equipment or anything. And then what that does is that gives us the ability to query the native APIs. Obviously, they vary slightly from provider to provider, but that lets you effectively view the configuration that you would see either in the web console or via Terraform or something like that. And by interrogating that and things like audit logs, we're able to look for the configuration of the environment. So we can go look at, you know, what access control lists look like, what IAM looks like, what your storage looks like, et cetera, et cetera. As well as looking for events such as changes to infrastructure so that, you know, our context about the environment can be updated. And similarly, you know, we can reassess as required, you know, those components. What it lets us do is it allows us to go and look at what's changed or what the configuration is there and look for, you know, commonly found flaws within some context that we've built around an environment. So we don't try and fit a one size fits all on everyone. We are working on various aspects that allow us to be a little more contextual. And then we can provide a remediation path for them. And this is one of the areas that we hopefully, you know, will save people a bunch of time in doing. And that could be multiple routes. We can actually make the change. We are also looking at routes where we can suggest the change without actually doing the change, and, you know, offer features like revert the change if you applied the change and didn't want it, and et cetera, et cetera. But the idea is that, you know, we provide a handy set of guardrails so that people can operate in their environment, and we will pick up and remediate, you know, an entire suite of different configuration issues.
Interesting. And that is done, of course, all automatically. So you're automatically monitoring and identifying these misconfigurations. And then in those cases where your customers want you to, you can remediate those. And is that pretty granular, or how does that work? So if I want you to remediate some types of issues, can you do that? Or is it one size fits all? Either you're going to remediate or you're just going to notify.
Yeah. So we do of course offer a global switch dependent, right? You know, if that's what you're looking for. But on the granular level, we have sets of rules that are organized into rule packs. Generally, an organization will start with what we call the baseline rule pack, and that really is the biggest issues that we see, right? Those are the really critical issues, right? Those aren't the, you know, oh, this is a minor nitpick that is required for complying with this one random standard. These are, hey, these are things that are going to get you breached if you leave them out in the open. And then we have sets of other rule packs that can be applied to specific areas within your environment for things like compliance with PCI, compliance with your SOC 2 controls, compliance with ISO 27000, et cetera. But we allow those to be applied. You can toggle each rule on and off. You can apply the entire rule pack or an individual rule to the environment. And we're also, you know, a bit of a preview here. We are also looking at being able to do that based on tags on different infrastructures, so that you can say, you know, hey, yes, I do have everything in a giant mono account. So I can't just, you know, I can't say, you know, this is the PCI account. This is this, and the rest of this stuff doesn't need PCI because it's all just in one big account. But I've tagged all the PCI stuff. Great. Sure. We'll apply the PCI rules there.
All right. Excellent. So kind of leading up to this interview, I spent some time on your website, kind of perusing your website, and I came across a blog post where the author was talking about how your solution isn't just for security, but is for ops teams as well. And I thought, well, when I get these guys on the show, I'm going to ask them to elaborate on that a little bit. So please tell me.
Yeah. So really at the core of the product, it really is, we're taking in structured data from these cloud environments, and we are creating rules that, you know, can operate on that data. And, you know, right now the rules that we've written are security focused. They are, right, we have additional compliance rule packs, but, you know, we've also, one of our co-founders, who's not here today, has a background as a infrastructure DevOps SRE kind of guy. And he looked at this and he said, well, you know, I could also be doing things like, you know, have you enabled S3 tiered storage? Do you have, you know, do you have a load balancer that's, you know, pointing to a port that you don't actually have anything running on, right? You know, I can do also, you know, do you have auto scaling turned on? I could do all sorts of scalability, availability checks using this same configuration data. And so we've started writing a little bit of ops rules with that. We've started writing a little bit of cost control rules with that, you know, just because, well, if we've got the data and we're processing it anyway for you, you know, we're going to try and make sure that this product can help you in every way that it can.
Yeah. And it makes sense. I mean, guardrails are very much needed and appreciated in the ops world as well. So if you can stand up those guardrails, that's very helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So let's dust off our crystal balls a little bit and look into the future. So what does the future look like for OpsHelm? You mentioned the tags being a new feature that's going to be available soon. So what else is there coming in the future for OpsHelm?
One of the next great features that I think we're going to release, Lee sort of alluded to this. Lee very obliquely mentioned this during an earlier answer. We are working on a Terraform integration that will enable us to identify, right, based on your Terraform code and based on your state file, to identify unmanaged resources. You know, so if you're using Terraform, oftentimes the Terraform configurations that companies have are very aspirational. They would love for everything to be managed that way, but you know, developers still spin something up that's not in Terraform. Something falls out of, you know, you're trying to fix a problem quickly, and so you go make a change. You don't try and do it through Terraform because that takes too long, and then now the Terraform config is out of sync. And so we identify resources that are not being managed by Terraform, and using our knowledge of your Terraform repository and your infrastructure, we can go ahead and generate valid Terraform that would then bring those assets under your Terraform management. We can also use this to then take those remediations that we're making in the cloud and also then generate Terraform PRs, pull requests, to then fix, right, to make those same changes in parallel into your Terraform configuration, so that your Terraform does not fall out of sync with the actual source of truth cloud, because we've made some change to the cloud.
Right. Very nice. So that's not available yet, but it's coming.
It is coming soon. Yes, it is coming very soon. We're also working on some ability to write custom rules. Right now, all the rules are written by us, but we do know that some people have very specific, you know, hey, mm-hmm. I want all my infrastructure to have this particular company specific set of tags.
Right.
Okay. You know, we can let you write that rule. We're working on that. It's coming along nicely. Lee, is there anything I'm forgetting?
I'm worried about misspeaking. I mean, I guess the other obvious thing is, you know, growing reach in terms of cloud providers themselves. I hope I'm not speaking out of place in saying that. There are a number of them. And I think, as you know, there is a need for other providers, you know, bringing those on board. Is always going to be an ongoing thing, not just the new providers, but of course there's you know, new services within those. You only have to see the AWS conference to see when they just start throwing out tons of new services, for example.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, guys, we're about out of time. I do want to end with the kind of an open-ended question. The essence of this question is, what should I have asked that I failed to ask? But the question is, what else does our audience need to know about automated cloud infrastructure remediation, or about OpsHelm, or anything else that we've talked about today?
So one thing that I think is really important for us to all remember, you know, we are all security professionals. We want to do the best job that we can. And so we are, you know, our natural instinct, of course, is to try to be hands-on with everything, to try to do everything ourselves, because we're going to do the best job that we possibly can. But ultimately, security is about risk prioritization. It's about prioritizing, okay, where are the important areas that I'm going to work on? Where are the important areas where I can really spend my time and make the most impact? And what OpsHelm does, you know, is ultimately, right, we try to do what you would do, or what, you know, perhaps not you, perhaps a junior security engineer. We try to do what a junior security engineer would do for you, and make the right choices for you in, you know, fairly constrained, straightforward situations where we're pretty sure we know what that situation would be. And that frees you up to have a little more time to spend on those other more interesting, more esoteric areas, right, that you might not otherwise have the time to go look into. You know, I've seen plenty of organizations that have all of the tooling that provides, you know, all the visibility, all the alerts, and that's great, right? That gives you the ability to go spend all of your time, spend all of your evenings, all your weekends, going digging into things, going, you know, manually patching servers, manually making changes to things, and that's one way to do things. But I think, you know, especially, you know, as we move forward, as the cloud gets more complex, as, you know, your company, you know, continues to push into new product areas, push it right, you know, every security engineer, every security professional is going to want to take a look at the things that they are doing and say, you know, these things, I don't need to have my hands on the keyboard anymore. I can let the automated processes run, and I can review the results at the end. And that's really, I think, where we differentiate ourselves from a lot of tools is we default to being automated, right? We default to remediating the issues and letting you go and follow up on your own time, do root cause analysis at your leisure without worrying, you know, without seeing 1,000 alerts and worrying like, oh gosh, you know, what if one of those is really important?
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Super interesting. And this has been fun. I appreciate this. Appreciate you guys being with me today. I've enjoyed this. We are out of time. So thank you for being with me today. And a big thanks to our listeners for listening in. Please remember to like and subscribe if you find this podcast interesting, and join us next time for another episode of the Brilliance Security Magazine podcast.